Along Soldiers Field Road, near Western Ave, I picked up a tail. Two goons in a Chevy sedan. They either lacked the skills to tail someone properly, or they wanted to be noticed. I'd find out soon enough. They were still on me as I passed the Charles River canoe and kayak to my left. A group of young people were setting off in canoes for an afternoon on the Charles. I crossed over the river on Elliott Bridge and wound my way onto Memorial Drive. The two goons stayed close. Traffic stopped to let an ambulance enter Mount Auburn Hospital. I waved to my new friends as they sat in their car behind me. They didn't wave back. Traffic began to move again and the Chevy sedan trailed me along Brattle Street to my office. I parked next to George Sanders' Mini Cooper in the small lot reserved for tenants of my office building. As I got out of my car, the Chevy sedan rolled slowly past. They didn't roll down a window and shoot at me, so I waved and smiled as they went by. Again, they failed to return my friendly gesture. Parking could be tough along Brattle Street, so I took my time strolling from the parking lot to my office building's entrance. I sat on the front steps and people watched for a few minutes. 5 minutes later, I spotted the two goons walking in my direction. They were pretty easy to spot. This certainly was not a clandestine operation.
"You Drew Patrick?"
one of the goons said when they approached. He was a few inches taller than his friend, and I guessed about an inch shorter than me. Both were muscular with very little body fat. "Let's see," I said as I glanced at the sign in front of the building. "I've never practiced law. I have no knowledge about book publishing. And I'm certainly not an accountant. So, yep, I guess that makes me Drew Patrick."
"Think you're some kind of comedian?"
the second goon asked. The afternoon sun reflected off his bald head. I shrugged, a technique I was learning to perfect from my interactions with today's teens. "You really should wear a hat," I said to Baldy. "You look like you burn."
"Shut up,"
he said. "I'm getting a lot of that today," I said.
"Probably because you talk too much,"
the first goon said to me. In contrast to his buddy, he had thick, dark hair and bushy eyebrows. "What can I say? I'm a people person."
"Well, you were talking to the wrong people,"
Eyebrows said. "You ever think of transplanting some of your eyebrows onto his head?" I said to him.
"You're about 2 seconds away from a beating,"
Eyebrows replied. "You two could certainly try," I said, "but you might draw attention. This is Cambridge, after all."
"Maybe take you for a little drive?"
Baldy said.
"Work you over where no one will bother us."
"I know some nice spots if you want any recommendations," I said.
"Look, buddy," Eyebrows said. "We don't want you bothering Aaron Hurley, and we certainly don't want you asking questions about his employer. Got it?"
"Come on, guys. If I don't ask questions, I can't possibly get anywhere with my investigation."
"That's the point,"
Baldy said. "Oh, I see," I said.
"You think you're something special, don't you?"
Eyebrows chimed in. "Aren't we all special in our own way?"
"Come on, Frankie,"
Baldy said.
"Let's teach our mouthy PI a lesson he won't soon forget."
Aha, so Eyebrows was named Frankie. I wondered what Baldy's name was. Frankie thought for a moment. It looked like it hurt him to do so.
"Not this time,"
Frankie said, after using considerable brain power.
"I think Mr. Patrick, despite having a mouth on him, has some brains. If he uses them, he'll stay away from Aaron Hurley and out of our business. That way, he'll get to keep his good looks."
"As flattered as I am that you consider me good looking," I said, "I'm afraid I am going to have to disappoint you."
"Then it looks like we will be seeing each other again,"
Frankie said. "Sure thing, Frankie." And I looked at goon number two.
"Jimmy,"
he said,
"ask around about us. I'm sure you'll be convinced you don't want to ever see us again."
"Just Frankie and Jimmy? Wow, you two must be legendary. Kind of like Cher."
"Screw you,"
Jimmy said.
"Take Jimmy's advice,"
Frankie said.
"Ask around. If we have to visit you again, you will get hurt. Make no mistake about it."
"I'll take it under advisement," I said.
"See that you do,"